to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
All righty, let's just breathe and let's just give thanks to the universe of which we are a part. Let's give thanks to the infinite wisdom, the divine source, the divine spark that ignites each and every one of us and is us. Let us give thanks for this opportunity to once again remember and recognize ourselves as part of the great source and the great force. That force and that source lives within us and expresses as us. And as we come together, we celebrate that source and that force and its power and its grace and its glory to recreate what has been miscreated in error. So let's breathe that in. And the good news is that as we come together with the specific intention to recreate in truth what has been miscreated in error, to release the error that covers the truth so that we can outpicture only the good that God intends, as we come together to celebrate this, we have a lot of help. We have the help of the divine that we unleash in acknowledgement. We have the help of the divine that is always around us. We have the help of the divine that is within us. We have the help of the grand plan. And that's what I want to talk about today. God has a plan. And we are all a part of that plan. That plan is for the salvation and the liberation of the world. That plan begins with each and every one of us. As we are liberated from the limiting thoughts that we have had about ourselves that have created limiting experiences that are not the will of God. That plan is for us to remember and recognize the glory of God within us and see that glory of God all around us in our neighbors. As the masks they wear fall away, and as the masks we wear fall away, as the wounds that have covered the heart fall away, as the light of God permeates and opens our hearts anew. That is the plan. And you are all a part of it. And that is my church, because something probably has happened. And so I'm going to turn it off. Oh, no, my mind is clear. They're grown. All right. We are part of God's great and grand and glorious plan. And to paraphrase the words of Marianne Williamson made worldwide famous by Nelson Mandela, we were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So you liberate yourself and you give others permission to be liberated. And this is a part of God's plan and your role in it. And that's what I want to talk about today. Being heaven's hand. Heaven, that energy, that state of being, that state of consciousness, synonymous with the consciousness of the One, synonymous with the consciousness of God. It is a consciousness, it is an energy, it is a flow, and it is a flow of which you are a part, and it is a flow that lives within you. And as you connect the flow that is the divine deposit of God within you as your light, as you connect that with the infinite flow of light, and when those two are in agreement, you are a channel for light. You are a channel for healing. You are a channel for love. You are a channel for grace. And God needs you as a conduit that its light might be revealed on the earth. For as you reveal the light of God that is the intrinsic essence of you, that light is revealed on the earth that others might see and remember and recognize themselves as an aspect of that light. Amen?
Amen.
So you are heaven's hands, whether you know it or not. But when you embrace that divine assignment, you can be heaven's hands more easily, more effortlessly, more joyfully, and more effectively. And that is your function, and that is your role as the beloved of God. Why you? Why you, you say? Why me? Why me? They have Joel Osteen. They don't need me. They have Ian LaVanzette. They don't need me. No. If God needed another Joel Osteen or another Ian LaVanzette, God would have cloned them. God needs you just as you are. You are here for this purpose too. It's not just some of us, it's all of us. And God needs you just as you are. Your background, your experiences, and your light, for your light amplifies the great light. What everyone needs is the blessed assurance of knowing that they are in the presence of unconditional love. For that blessed assurance liberates them. And when you stand in that presence, and when you practice that presence, you illuminate that presence, and they are reminded of that presence. I think I made that point, so I don't need to belabor it anymore, but I just want to use a couple of references here. A Course in Miracles, lesson 154, says, "I am among the ministers of God." And that is not just some, that is all.
Say that again.
A Course in Miracles, lesson 154, says, "I am among the ministers of God." And this is what they say about it, if I can read without my readers. "Whatever your appointed role may be, it was selected by the voice for God, whose function is to speak for you as well. Seeing your strengths exactly as they are, and equally aware of where they can be best applied, for what, to whom, and when, he chooses and accepts your part for you. You have been divinely chosen for your specific task as part of the heart of God." And if you need our Father Ernest Holmes to confirm that, Ernest Holmes said this: "No one ever whispered anything in my ear that wasn't available to any other person. Anything anyone has done, anyone can do." Now, if you need Jesus as a reference for this, Jesus said, "These things I do, ye shall do greater things." So it doesn't take a special wizard to be heaven's hands. It takes you, you and you and you. Amen? Anybody with me?
Amen.
All right. And let me tell you how this works in the real world. I was young once. I was cute once. And I had hair.
He's still cute.
Like Meatloaf said, 1 out of 3 ain't bad. And I had a friend named Julie. We were in graduate school together in New York. And we used to go out to the clubs, and Julie liked the men. Julie liked the men with a capital L. And we were in graduate school at this kind of prestigious school, and we were going to be captains of the universe and work on Wall Street and all that stuff. And so Julie had planned for her life, but Julie liked the men. A couple times Julie liked the men a little much. And as a dear friend, I had to accompany her to make a very challenging decision. And she was racked with conflict and guilt about this. And it really ate away at her. I could see it and sense it and feel it eating away at her. And it was one of the things that actually God used to cause her to delve into spirituality, into healing, and into the energy that would heal a broken heart. And as Julie evolved, her ministry evolved. She became a counselor, and she counseled others who had to make life decisions that would change their lives, that were fraught with conflict. And that was God using her. So even that experience that she had was an experience that God ultimately used to bring comfort and peace and grace and others who had to walk the same path. So the point of all of that is that God uses everything. So therefore we need judge nothing. Amen. God uses everything for its divine purpose, and you are part of God's plan. There are no sinners who are apart from God's plan. There are only each and every one of us doing the best we can in any and every way, every day. And God is using even our stumbles to illuminate how we get up and show up as the light that God created. Amen. So how can we be heaven's hands? How can we be heaven's hands? And I asked Spirit about this, and I got 3 points. Number one, think with God's thoughts. Number two, see with God's eyes. And number three, speak God's truths. So I'm going to repeat them, because in my church, we have quite a few scribes. They like to write everything down, which is so cool. So number one, think with God's thoughts. Number two, see with God's eyes. And number three, speak God's truth. What do I mean when I say think with God's thoughts? Sit with God and practice the presence of the omnipresent love, the omnipresent spirit, the omnipresent grace, the omnipresent power, the one thought, the one mind. When you sit with the oneness and you sit in the oneness, and as Ernest Holmes said, there is no spot where God is not. As you sit with God and experience your oneness, you open automatically to the divine thought, to the divine idea, to the divine truth. And you not only open to it intellectually, you open to it energetically, for each and every of your energy centers is healed, transformed, and open to the light and the truth of God. Your thoughts fall away. Oh, I got to pick up my dry cleaning. Your thoughts fall away. Oh, she got on my nerves last night. Your thoughts fall away. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? I didn't pick up my dry cleaning. I don't have a dress to wear. Your thoughts fall away. And only the thoughts of God remain. And that's what sitting in and practicing the presence does. It helps you to put on God's mind. My dear friend who passed away, Jim Marion, had a book called Putting on the Mind of God. And in A Course in Miracles, there's a lesson. My mind holds only what I think with God. My mind gets diarrhea and passes all my human thoughts away and holds only the thoughts I think with God. I didn't say that. Spirit said, it's getting too heavy in here. We got to lighten it up. My mind holds only what I think with God. Think God's thoughts. For as you continually practice the presence of God, all your thoughts will become drowned out. All your thoughts will become dissolved. All your thoughts become inconsequential because the thoughts of God will dominate your mind. And when you think the thoughts of God, you see with the vision of God. And there's a correlation between these two, because what you think is what you see. What you think is what you see. What you think is what you see. If you want to see a different world, think a different world. If you want to see a different experience, think a different experience. If you don't want to see a different outcome, think a different outcome. And let me tell you how this works in the real world. When you think with the thoughts of God, you will see with the vision of God. And I have a friend, Christina, right? And so Christina had this old ratty bathrobe. And with this old ratty bathrobe, she, you know, we were doing a lesson in the Course in Miracles that everything was a tool that God used. And she was like, what about my old ratty bathrobe? What about my old ratty bathrobe? What about my old ratty bathrobe? It doesn't mean anything except that I put it on when I go in the bathroom to brush my teeth in the morning. It's just an old ratty bathrobe. It doesn't mean anything. Until Christina had a fire in her kitchen downstairs and needed to tie that old ratty bathrobe to the post of her bed to get out the window. In that moment, she thought the thought of God, and she saw what that bathrobe was for, because she couldn't figure out why she was still keeping that old ratty bathrobe. God had a plan for that old ratty bathrobe. God had a plan for that old ratty bathrobe as a confirmation of God's support for her. And so when she thought of it differently, she saw it differently. She no longer saw it as the old ratty bathrobe. She saw it as the thing that was going to get her out of her house when her kitchen was on fire downstairs and there was smoke coming up her bed, coming up her stairwell. Amen?
Amen.
So when you think differently about any and everything, you will see it differently. When you think differently about your neighbor as the beloved of God, you will not see the conflicts, the hassles, their dog pooping on your lawn. You will see them as the beloved of God. This is a heavy talk. We got to lighten it up. So when we see with God's eyes, you will only see the grace and the glory of God in everything, the one power, the one presence that exists in everything. You will see past the appearances and the judgments of your mind. For remember, you don't have your thoughts. You only have God's thoughts. You will not see the stumbles. You will see the purpose. You will not see the falling down. You will see the getting up. You will not see the smallness that we play. You will see the role that God has for us ultimately, each and every one of us. And when we think with God's thoughts and we see with God's eyes, you become heaven's hands, for you become the instrument that God uses for God's purpose. And you can speak God's truth. And this doesn't take anybody. Years ago, I had a realtor. And let me tell you how this works in the real world. And there will not be poop involved with this, I promise you. Let me tell you how this works in the real world. Back in the day, I was deciding between two investment properties. And in Little Falls, New Jersey. Little Falls, New Jersey. And this realtor, she listened to me. Somebody listened to me. She listened to me, right? And she kept hearing me debate these two properties. Which of these two properties? Which of these two properties? And she said, well, Jim, you're a grown man. I can't tell you what to do. Just like God says, you're grown. I can't tell you what to do. I can't make decisions for you. You have to make the decision. She wouldn't make the decision for me. And so we were sitting down with the two contracts. And it was time to sign because she had to go to dinner with her boyfriend. And she said, and suddenly she got this funny look in her eye. She got this funny look in her eye. And she said, well, this property, da 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 da, but this property, ba da ba da ba da, and this property, da 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 da, and this property, ba da ba da ba da, and this property, ba da ba da ba da, and this property, ba da ba da ba da. And I said, oh, I guess I'm going to go with this property. And she looked at me and she said, I don't know where that came from, but I know where it came from. It came from God. Amen. She was speaking God's truth. She was a realtor. She wasn't a minister. She was a realtor. She wasn't a shaman. She was a realtor. She wasn't a spiritual person. But guess what? She was heaven's hands. And the point of all of that is that we are all heaven's hands. You are heaven's hands. You are important to God's purpose. God needs you to fulfill its purpose of causing us all to remember and recognize ourselves as divine, to remember and recognize our neighbors as divine, to remember and recognize our world in a different way so that we can see the world we want it to be, so we can see a world of love, so we can see a world of peace, so we can see a world of harmony, so we can see a world of grace. God needs you to create that, because God is an energy without the hands, and you are an energy that possesses the hands. So the point of all of this is that we are all heaven's hands. And as the Sufi poet Rumi always says, all you have to do is show up as love, and God will do the rest through you. All you have to do is show up as peace, and you bring peace into the place. All you have to do is show up as the blessed assurance that God is present, and God's presence will work in whatever situation you find yourself. Wherever you are, Rumi said, whatever you do, be love. All you have to do is show up, and God will speak through you, just like that realtor. All you have to show up, and God, as you sit and practice the presence, will have opened your heart that you might open all other hearts. All you have to do is show up and ask God, what is the thought you would have me think? What is the word you would have me say? And God will speak through you and touch the hearts of those who do not know God and do not remember what you remember as one with God. You are heaven's hands, and that is your divine service, and that's what I want to share with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.